You're listening to the Choose You podcast, episode number 9. Hey guys, I'm Carmen Sakurai, certified life strategist and advocate for victims of narcissistic abuse. In this episode, I want to help you take your first proactive steps towards your recovery from narcissistic abuse. Let's begin. You can now subscribe and listen to this podcast on YouTube at carmensakurai.com/choose-you-YouTube. I'm totally new at it, so I'm still figuring it out, but once I get a hang of it, it'll become the home of Choose You Video, which is basically a video of me recording this podcast. But some people do better with visuals, so however I can contribute to this cause. The link is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. If you feel like you're reaching the end of your rope with nowhere to turn, please call the 24-hour National Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or the 24-hour crisis text line by texting HELP to 741-741. If you're in immediate danger, call your local emergency phone number or go to your nearest emergency room. Narcissistic abuse is one of the most confusing and painful experiences to navigate through and recover from. There's nothing normal about what you are up against, and dealing with this in the same way you deal with other life challenges will not only slow down your progress, but jeopardize your recovery. One of the first things survivors are advised to do is read as much as we can about narcissistic personality disorder and practice no contact. However, I learned early on in my own recovery that filling my brain with facts about NPD and going no contact was only the start in my journey to healing. At this stage, I was just trying to survive the aftermath, learning to cope and tolerate the pain. What I desperately needed were solid solutions to break free from survival mode to complete recovery. So I wanted to share the 9 action steps I used to help move from survival mode to real recovery. The link to this worksheet is in the show notes. Number 1, go no contact or modified no contact. No contact is absolutely required in order to create a protective space around you from all of the narcissistic toxins and contamination so you can begin to heal and claim your whole self. You start this by removing all possibilities for outgoing and incoming contact. When you execute and defend no contact, you're making a conscious and proactive decision to remove yourself from danger. As a result of cognitive dissonance and trauma bonding with their abusers, many survivors struggle to defend their space from a narcissistic or any toxic ex-partner, such as family, friend, coworker, etc., due to being conditioned to rely on the abuser's validation during the abuse. See, narcissistic personality disorder is a very real illness, but their illness is just so alien from what we're familiar with in our own everyday reality that it is insanely difficult to truly grasp what we're really up against. Because of that, we can't help but expect the narc to possess the same ability to love and care for others like we can. This is especially dangerous for someone who's in the beginning stages of healing, where they're still vulnerable and susceptible to abuse. It's why executing and defending no contact with no excuses is your only option. Unless you remove all illusions projected by the narcissist from sight, it will hinder your recovery. You must shut them out completely because narcissists don't care about loving or being loved, or understanding or being understood. You can download my free guide to properly doing no contact for step-by-step instructions. The link is in the show notes. So even if they drop on their knees and confess they've made a terrible mistake, and even if they say they're ready to see a counselor or a therapist, even if they tell you that the skies parted, the angels blessed them with a shower of confetti and they found religion, even if they tell you they now realize there's no one more perfect than you or no one they love more than they love you, no contact, no excuses. They don't care about the relationship the same way you do. They live moment by moment, driven by their needs for narcissistic supply. Choose yourself and stop falling for their lies. Right now, you're dealing with an addiction to an emotional and psychological abuser, and like an addict needing their drug regardless of how harmful it is, it's normal to long for contact with the narcissist. The important thing is to stand firm in your truth and enforce no contact no matter what. I also wanted to note that a disturbingly large number of motivated and intelligent people who have gone no contact from the narc are finding themselves still painfully traumatized by the experience years after the disastrous discard. Now, how is this even possible? It's because though they've never broken no contact, they remained in emotional contact with the abuser. This is a result of not properly processing and healing all that they've been through. The narcissist was still their source of love, approval, and security. The abuser still had power over them. Also, many survivors mistakenly believe they've gone no contact, when in reality, they've gone no response. If the narc is still able to reach you by their regular phone, email, social media, etc., you're not doing no contact. Simply not responding is not no contact. Going no response is incredibly dangerous to you because it gives you the illusion of personal strength and control when what you've done is to trap yourself in the abuse long after the relationship has ended. Please don't trick yourself into believing that you can keep the line of communication open as long as you don't respond. Narcissists won't change for anyone, and they'll continue living the cycle of abuse until they die. Block all forms of outgoing and incoming communication to save your sanity and protect yourself. Now, if you have children with a narcissist, a joint business, or narcissistic family members with whom you must still have contact with at family events, you have to do a modified version of no contact. Please download my free guide to properly doing no contact, where I explain how you can execute modified contact in detail. The link is in the show notes. Number 2, don't get caught up in NPD knowledge hoarding. See, you can collect all the knowledge by reading books about narcissistic abuse and posts on NPD survival groups, but therein lies a dangerous trap. Many believe that by simply reading and talking about the experiences over and over again, they'll be able to finally understand, break free, and heal from NPD abuse. See, when we're searching for answers, it's natural to get excited over those aha moments where we think, now it makes sense. I know I experienced this over and over again. But without a solid plan of action that you intentionally practice every single day until it becomes effortless, you won't truly recover. Look at it this way. You can read all day, every day about how to make your first $1 million in just 1 year. But without actually taking action, you still won't have $1 million at the end of the year. This is why you'll encounter many survivors and support groups who have more information about narcissistic abuse than any therapist or counselor out there, yet remain in the group for years because they continue to cycle through the same abuse. My heart breaks for them, but there's only so much members can do for each other in those communities. Knowledge is not power. It's a weapon. Knowing how to use that knowledge, now that's real power. Number 3, don't disregard or push past the pain. I've been told by so many well-meaning people to just get over it and move on, because this is how many of us deal with the majority of the challenges we face in our lives. However, those who have not personally experienced narcissistic abuse are unable to understand how almost impossible it is to move on from this horrible experience. Victims with invisible wounds resulting from emotional and mental abuse, especially by a predator who's able to skillfully manage your appearance to the outside world, experience being dismissed and invalidated by even the closest people around them. It's difficult for the not involved to understand that serious damage and excruciating pain is being experienced by someone who doesn't appear injured. So it's important that you do not dismiss and invalidate what you are personally going through. And please know that I believe you and completely empathize with you. If you've been ignoring the pain because you've been led to believe that it'll eventually go away on its own, you're likely feeling exhausted, depleted, and just barely hanging on right now. The reason why? Ignoring the pain of narcissistic abuse is like having consumed disease-contaminated water and simply waiting for it to pass through your system. The poison will travel through your body and affect your organs, so you can't just let it do its thing. The damage will only get worse. You need to wipe out the disease, flush out your body, and then maintain it with clean, delicious water. The one path out of this is to go all in and face the pain. Acknowledge that you're mourning a loss of someone who was important to you. Then acknowledge that this person has a disorder that left them without a functioning personality and unable to see past their own needs. Then acknowledge that it's not your fault for not being able to identify their disorder earlier in the relationship. Heck, many narcissists are unaware they even suffer from a disorder. Important thing here is to be kind to yourself. Feel your emotions and then decide that you want to move on beyond this misery and hopelessness and feel happy and free again. Number 4, understand that you are dealing with a narcissistic personality disorder. After dealing with this like an ordinary breakup, I found myself asking the same questions: why did this happen? How could this happen? And what the heck happened? My head couldn't process this, and I had no idea where and how I was even supposed to begin my healing. This is a breakup with a narcissist, someone without emotional empathy or a functioning personality, and they depend on external sources to constantly tell them how important and special they are in this world. They cannot sustain their own self-esteem and self-worth, which is why they're unable to see past their own needs. Like the family and friends of narcissistic abuse victims who cannot grasp the damages caused to the victim by the abuser simply by outward appearances, it's insanely difficult to completely grasp that the person we were so enmeshed with has a very serious and virtually incurable personality disorder, especially because there's no physical defining feature that separates people with narcissistic personality behavior from those who don't. But let me put this into perspective. Fantasizing a reconciliation with a narc or wondering why they didn't follow through with the promises they made in the name of love is like fantasizing someone who lost their arms to grow them back in the name of love. Narcissistic personality disorder is a very real illness. And just as they're focused on filling their own needs, you must shift your focus to recovering from this damage and moving beyond this experience. Number 5, make a list of the narc's questionable behaviors. After a breakup, it's absolutely natural for people to suddenly remember only the good stuff about the relationship. It's part of the detox withdrawal process. Similar to a drug addict, when they need a fix, they crave for the good feelings. An addict doesn't think about how the drug is completely killing their body and how it hurts the people around them or that it's absolutely ruining their life. And did you know that the harder you work on saving a toxic relationship, the more invested your heart and mind becomes? It's because your brain is trying to make sense of what the hell you're fighting so hard for. So it tricks you into believing that the reward, in this case the narcissist, is ridiculously valuable. Even though the truth is, they're empty people with nothing of value to contribute into the relationship. So anyway, let's get back on topic here. You need to make a list of all the things the narcissist had said or done to make you feel invisible, unlovable, insignificant, invalidated, ugly, unwanted, stupid, angry, confused, and lonely. Write down all those times you thought you were going absolutely crazy because the narc could not grasp the simplest concept of love and respect that even a young child could understand. The relationship was your drug, and it's important that you consciously and intentionally work on breaking your addiction. Having something to refer back to and reminding yourself of the crappy, painful things they put you through will help you keep it real. Number 6, avoid online support group dependence. This experience is without a doubt the most exhausting, confusing, and depressing roller coaster ride I've ever been on. I admit I felt somewhat ashamed for even feeling that way. After all, there are people born with life-altering birth defects, suffering from life-threatening disease, or trying to overcome serious financial challenges, and here I am, whining about a breakup? Which is also a big reason why those who are not familiar with narcissistic abuse are confused at why you're unable to just move on. What I didn't realize at the time was this wasn't just an ordinary breakup. I wasn't aware that I was even being emotionally or psychologically abused, let alone know that the ex who absolutely destroyed me suffered from a personality disorder. So imagine my relief when I found countless online support groups on Facebook for survivors of narcissistic abuse. It was insane to see how similar all our experiences were, and we were from all different backgrounds spread across the globe. So as isolated and lonely you might be feeling right now, you are so not alone in this. But the trick is to not get caught up in the online support group limbo. As I said earlier, I joined a handful of them soon after the narcissistic ex discarded me in October 2017. And let me tell you, receiving validation from and sharing information about NPD with other survivors who truly understood what I was going through was a godsend. My family and friends were quickly growing frustrated with me because I couldn't see my worth and just move on. But members of these groups knew exactly what I was struggling with. However, beyond gaining some understanding of the narcissistic personality disorder and their horrible cycle of abuse, beyond receiving validation from other victims about the living nightmare we've been thrown into, I started to see that there were no real solutions laid out to actually help recover from NPD abuse. Due to the nature of the groups and the many new members joining on a daily basis, the discussions were stuck at, how could they move on with someone new like I never mattered? He or she was my soulmate. I can't believe it was all an illusion. I can't believe they did this to me after all I've done for them. So many of us started asking, now what? How do we move beyond this? Because while these support groups for survivors are absolute lifelines initially, the reality is that they do not offer the next steps to recovery. When you continue to focus on the abuser by participating in repetitive discussions, focusing on your horrendous story and asking narc-centered questions like, here's a photo of my narc, can you see it in their eyes? And what month was your narc born? You are not getting any closer to recovering from the abuse, just marinating in the same pain. So now what? Take a step forward. Throughout the relationship, the narc was placed at the top of your priority, leaving you walking on eggshells, trying to do whatever possible so you don't anger them, push them away even more, and hopefully get back that wonderful human you thought you were entering into the perfect relationship with. That was a disordered person with no clue how to behave and think like a normal, healthy human being. You were tricked into their crazy making, and it's time to bust you out of there. So now it's your turn to be number one priority like you've always deserved. This means you have to shift your focus back to yourself. I know it will be difficult at first because you've been conditioned to revolve your entire existence around the narc. But remember, you fought and lived through what could possibly be the most painful relationship breakup and survived. Shift your focus away from trying to understand the narcissist to trying to understand your own needs so you can heal and break free. Number 7, find support to fill in the spaces the narcissist suddenly left empty. I had friends covering everything from good morning texts to photos of their little children playing throughout the day, building me up and lifting my spirit, checking in to see how I'm doing, how my day is going, planning trips and visits, and asking what I'm having for dinner, even begging for food photos. The narcissist just upped and left. For me, there were 2 years worth of habits, routines, and addictions I had to break free from. Having a circle of support to help wean me off from them was a huge blessing. Lean on your family and friends to help you transition from your previous daily routines to new ones. While they may not understand the devastation you're being dragged through, many will support your effort to break your addiction to the narcissist in order to move on. Number 8. Choose self-affirmation over positive affirmations. Many swear by doing positive affirmations to strengthen their self-esteem, confidence, and worth, and their benefits to practicing positive affirmations on a daily basis. But when working on healing from the aftermath of narcissistic abuse, positive affirmations can do more harm than good. The reason why is repeating things that you're not genuinely feeling will only make you feel worse. For example, saying things like, I'm wonderful and lovable, when you don't quite believe you're very wonderful or lovable, will leave you feeling lousy and like a phony. So instead, practice self-affirmation. Identify the great things about you, what you bring to the table, then expand on it. For example, 1. I'm hilarious. I can make strangers spit milk with just a one-liner, and I laugh at myself all the time. Laughter is the best medicine, and no one delivers chuckles than I can. 2. I'm an action taker. I create big goals and knock each one of them down one by one. I don't just wish for things to happen. I make them happen. This has helped motivate the people around me to get off their butts and get things done. 3. I'm honest. I respect myself as much as I respect others, and by practicing honesty, I consistently strengthen my self-confidence and worth. People can rely on me, and I know I can always count on myself. 4. I'm a great cook. My family and friends always rave about how delicious my meals are. Tummies will never be hungry with me around. 5. I live for adventure. I love discovering something new on my own, and those who are with me are always in for a fun surprise, and so on and so forth. By doing this, you're acknowledging and appreciating the qualities you know you have. 9. Identify exactly what the narc was saving you from. There are various reasons why a victim remains in an abusive relationship, including fear, trauma bonding, financial difficulties, children and family, and more. And one of the biggest reasons why victims keep fighting for this unhealthy, self-damaging relationship is because they've made the narcissist responsible for filling a long-time need. See, people with unhealed traumas from early on in life, such as emotionally absent parents, siblings who bullied them and always got away with it, a teacher who constantly embarrassed you in front of your peers, are left feeling unlovable, unheard, ugly, insignificant, stupid, invisible, and untrustworthy. And like we talked about in episode 7, Help, I Think I'm a Narc Magnet, victims of childhood traumas bury their pain in their unconscious in order to cope and function. But the narcs are able to pick up on these needs and appear as the one who can finally heal these injuries. Does this sound familiar? But see, when the narc does this, the pain you've carefully packed away in your unconscious is brought right back to the surface in full force, reminding you of all the things you've been struggling through and longing for. They're brought right out in the open so the narc can easily use them against you. Now, what I did was go deep within and ask questions like, 1. What were my heart, mind, and body really addicted to? 2. What was I getting from him that I was lacking before he came along? And 3, what was he saving me from? Your heart, mind, body, and spirit have been contaminated, so it's important that you identify the trauma and wipe it out altogether. Otherwise, they'll just sit there festering and growing. I highly suggest you work with a therapist or counselor when dealing with childhood traumas. It can get pretty intense, and you'll need their professional experience and support to filter through the clutter and guide you out the other side feeling clear and empowered. Please keep your eyes fixed on you. Your significance and needs have been brushed off long enough. It's time to put you back on that pedestal so you can love yourself back to whole. And by raising your vibration, you'll soon find that you're drawing in more people who will love and appreciate you as much as you love and appreciate yourself. Thank you so much for joining me. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or on your favorite podcasting app. And if you know someone who can benefit from the information covered, please feel free to share. Resources mentioned in this episode are listed in the show notes. I'm Carmen Sakurai, and until next time, choose you. Do it for yourself and for all of us, because our world is a better place for having you in it. Love and God bless.